Yesterday, we discussed the important characteristics of a major personality yesterday morning. Without developing a sane mind, a major mind, a person will never be happy either in this world or in spiritual field. Any field, the first condition is to develop a mature mind. How do we know? Because a person, too, important characteristics will be there. A mature mind is always cheerful, optimistic, and rational. There are many characteristics. So yesterday we discussed certain things. Now the topic will be, am I a devotee of God? If any, we have to ask, each one of us have to ask, am I a devotee of God? When? Only after we develop maturity of personality, not before, because you will be worthless, either as a devotee of God or even as an ordinary human being. So ask yourself, am I a devotee of God? If the answer is yes, you are not a devotee of God. What should be the answer? I wish to become a devotee. I pray that let me become a devotee. Who, if anybody can say, I am a devotee of God? Only who can say? Only God can say, Bhaktahate Ativa me priyaha. In the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord enumerates certain characteristics and says, the person who has these devotees, he is a same bhaktaha, he is a devotee. Only God should certify. This is very interesting. Whenever you pass any examinations or attend exam, who gives the certificate? You? Otherwise, every student will be getting only first class first. It is only the examiners who have to give the certificate. So it is only God who can give the certificate. How does God give such certificate? You know how God gives? He gives his darshan and makes him one with himself. That is the only certificate. Otherwise, it is a useless certificate. Apply, apply, no reply. Madras government, a very good government, excellent government. Morning apply, evening reply, no vacancy. What is the point? So, it is only God who can give. Then, what should we do? We should say, I would like to become. Let us remind ourselves, this is one of the affirmations. Let me be a devotee of God. Let me be a devotee of God. Let me try to become a devotee. Then what are the characteristics necessary? So, the second thing is, follow the commandments. Suppose you say, I would like to be the devotee of Sri Ramakrishna. What should such a person do? Follow the commandments of Sri Ramakrishna. I want to be the devotee of Holy Mother. Follow the commandments of Holy Mother. I want to be a yogi and follow the Yama and Niyama. I want to be a bhakta of Narayana, according to Ramanuja. Then the seven characteristics and affirmations. What are the affirmations? I want to be a devotee of Narayana if I follow these commandments, then I can become a devotee of Narayana. What are they? Viveka, Vimoka, Abhyasa, Kriya, Kalyana, Anavasada, Anamadharsha. These are the seven characteristics. Clear. We have to be very clear about it. No, what is called thinking that we are going to be devotees of God. So, if I want to be a devotee of God, then Ramanujacharya gives certain characteristics apart from these seven, qualifying us to really surrender ourselves to God. What are the six characteristics? Iti shadvidha sharanagatihi anukulasya sankalpa. Before doing anything, ask yourself, does this have the approval of God? Is He pleased? Anukulasya sankalpa. I will do only what pleases Him. Pratikulasya varjana. Whatever I think displeases God, then I will never do. But how do I know what the God wants to me to do or what to do? It is the Shastra. Shastras tell. And the Shastras come in the form of the Gospel, Gita, Holy Mother's teachings, etc. That's why I mentioned earlier. Follow those things. But here specifically Ramanuja, that before we do anything, doing means what? Karma. Karma can be done in three ways. Thinking, speaking and acting. So our problem is we don't want even to think, because if we think about any of these things, a definite certificate will be there. You are not a devotee of God. And we wouldn't like to get such a certificate. We would like to hoodwink ourselves. Whom are you hoodwinking? God or yourself? That we are devotees of God. So here are the things. Anukulasya sankalpa, pratikulasya vajjana. Whatever pleases the Lord and whatever displeases the Lord, one should do, one should refrain from. What are those things? Do you indulge? Ask yourself, do I indulge in criticizing verbally, mentally or vocally? Vocally means? Verbally means only. Vocally means loudly. Criticizing, backbiting, worse than that is gossiping. What is the difference between gossiping and criticizing? Criticizing has a target, some person. Gossiping has no target. Yeah, the bird is flying. What has got it to do with you? The bus is, you know, making noise. What has it got to do with us? Like this, go on. Yes, you notice it? Whole day we are gossiping. And yet, we think that we are devotees of God. Just video record 1 day of your activities and see. Not more days, not necessary. You know why? Because all our creative activities are clearly known with 1 day's recording. Because you don't have the creativity to create a new kind of gossip. The same old things carry on. So, this is the first thing. Do I indulge in criticizing, backbiting, gossip? Next, am I wasting my time and energy? When Sri Ramakrishna became a sadhaka, the very first thing that he did was, he stopped wasting time, he stopped talking to people. The moment puja is over, he will shut the door and run into the jungle and will not come out until he is needed again. So energy is very precious. Vivek Chudamani said, human life is very precious. But what does human life mean? Time, energy and company. So this is the question. Am I wasting my energy? Am I wasting my time? Because they go together. Time and energy. So if you expend energy, that is called activity. Every activity requires expenditure of what? Energy. Time, energy. Even a thought, a vritti, is also consisting of energy. A little bit of energy. Then, what type of company am I keeping? A company means what, you know? Books, people, and what type of environment, what type of photos. You see, Sri Ramakrishna remarks, he went to some devotee's house, Brahma devotee, all having the Queen Victoria's paintings and all those things. But when he heard that somebody forget, his house is full of these religious pictures, then he went. See, they also have got some influence upon us. Everything has got an influence upon us. Even a carpet has got an influence upon us. Supposing there is a beautiful carpet, what would you do? You step round it. You don't walk upon it. Because it is very precious. But anybody is walking over us, that's okay. Doesn't matter. Yeah. How careless we are. So what is the point here? Yatishtha Nuvara's second teaching. Always cultivate awareness. Even if you waste your time, you be aware, I am wasting time. Then it won't last long. That's why affirmations are necessary. Am I wasting my time? And then it becomes a guilty feeling. Oh, I am wasting my time. Because nothing can hide itself forever from us. This self-awareness is most wonderful. Then, next question. To be put to ourselves, to be answered by ourselves. Do I delight in holy company, holy books, holy talks, holy conversation? Four. Holy company. Even if the holy person doesn't do anything, do I get delight? Do I get joy? Holy company. Or do I also criticize holy company? Yes. You know, why is the Swami eating so much? And I am getting only this, and the devotees are serving Swami special dishes. You know, are you criticizing the Swami or not? You are criticizing the Swami, you are criticizing the devotees who are serving, you are getting, you know, competitive jealousy. This is what Swami Vivekananda used to call churches. Churches. Women who did not succeed in getting a man, then they turn to religion. Yes, widows. People who have tragedies in life, they usually turn to religion because nothing in this world can give them support. But God can give support, religion. But they are not seeking God. When we are saying that I am seeking God, there could be two purposes for that. I want God only, or I want God to fulfill some of, or no, all of my desires, wishes. Is it not? Most people that go to Venkateshwara, do they care a fig for Lord Venkateshwara? No. They want to fulfill, get fulfilled, hoping against hope. So we use God as an instrument for our own selfishness. This is the sad fact. They are called two types of devotees, Artha and Artharthi. Only the third stage, Jignasa. Then he will turn, O Lord, Dhiyo Yonaha Prachodaya. That is called Jignasa. So, do I delight in holy company? Holy books. How much time do you read holy books? How much time do you read newspapers? How much time do you watch your trash, etc.? Yes, it is a serious devotee. Never do. Sri Ramakrishna, when he notices a newspaper, he will immediately do what? Sprinkle Ganges water. Because it contains only worldly subjects. Worldly subjects. A devotee wants to become spiritual. Anything opposed to spirituality is what is called something forbidden. We are not able to really overcome that tendency. That is okay now, but we should be aware and say this is also a dependency. Like that, slowly we have to go forward. So holy talks. How much time do you really talk each other about holy things? Scriptures or whatever you heard in satsanga, etc. How much time you go on talking anything other than God? Take note and see. And if 90% of your time is going on only in this unholy talks, Does it really help us to become a devotee of God? Look at Sri Ramakrishna's life. He never used to indulge in these things. Look at any saint's life. The very fact that a person had become a saint automatically indicates, how did he become a saint? By indulging in all these things or by avoiding them. So, skillfully we should turn this conversation into something higher channel. Even if you don't feel like, there is a psychological law which William James rediscovered and held it up before us. What is that? Feeling follows action. Usually what happens, action is followed by
feeling.
Feeling is followed by action. You feel like doing something. You know, I feel like drinking, I feel like eating, I feel like doing, then action comes. But the other way around is also equally true, because these are the two ends. That is why taking God's name and feeling for God. So taking God's name is an action. But feeling devotion to God is a reaction. So you love God, you feel like taking His name, then you take the name. So feeling is followed by action. But many times we do not have the feelings. How to bring them? You do the appropriate actions. Normally in our day-to-day life, this is how quarrels also arise. Two people are talking. It starts with ordinary talk. Then what happens? It develops into an argument. Then what happens? They did not mean. Then shouting. Then fist fight. Sometimes murder also happens. Yeah. So that is why when a person murders, he is not called a murderer. So two types of killings are not called murders. A madcap kills, he is not called a murderer. When a tiger kills, it is a killer, it is not a murderer. So due to some temporary quarrel, you know, two people, slowly they talk, argument, they had no intention, there is no scheming that I will kill this fellow. So that is also called not murder. What? What is it called? Killing. Killing. But when a person schemes, thinks, plans and executes, though the punishment will all be different. Yeah. If a child accidentally discharges a gun and somebody is hurt or killed, he simply is removed. When a madcap does it also, is removed. When an animal is also, is removed. But when a person deliberately thinks, that is called? What is my point? Let us not forget the point. Usually, the action is followed by feeling. But we can create the feeling by simulating the actions. That is the key word, simulating. So you go on thinking, I have devotion, like that. Then it becomes devotion. Slowly, we have a lot of obstacles to be removed. Temporarily, at least, we do feel. Sri Ramakrishna's life, there is one instance. A fellow, in order to escape a debt, he started feigning that he is madcap. Sri Ramakrishna warns him.
Right.
He is imitating the actions of a madcap. Yeah. So, Sri Ramakrishna, already I see some symptoms of your madness.
Yes.
Stop it. Otherwise, you will become mad.
Yes.
That is how people become mad, you know. They get very angry. They do certain things. Then they justify it. And that is how slowly it leads to insanity and all those things. So, do you delight in holy talks? Means, holy talks means I am specially referring. Somebody who knows what he is talking about, takes a class, a Swami or a devotee or whatever it is, do you delight in it? So in the beginning you might not delight, but if you go on doing it, slowly the liking comes, the interest comes. That is how we develop good habits. How do we develop good habits? If you are already habituated, then there is no need to develop. It's already there. But how do you develop? So, even though forcibly, get up at 5 o'clock. So, like that, you know, that snoozing. Snoozing. And I don't know how long, how many times you can press the button of snoozing. But, that's why, you know, there are certain types of sounds and keep alarm clock at a distance.
Yes.
Never put it nearby. And it should be like your, you know, house on fire siren. Like that. You put. And then for fear of, you know, getting scolding from the neighbors, you have no option but to go. So, that is what we need to do. Then, holy conversation.
Yes.
So, how do we start? So, keep conversation in the mind. Talk, Holy Mother, or any other Swamiji, Swami Vivekananda, Brahmananda. What is all that gospel? Nothing but? Conversation. So, you can converse. Holy Mother is there, and you go and shout at her. Yeah, you can shout.
Yes.
Because if you shout at Holy Mother, she will only bless you. And if, but if you shout at me, then I will make you less. That is the difference between bless and less. Yeah. So, do I delight in holy company, holy books, holy talks, holy conversation? Earlier I mentioned, do I indulge in criticizing, backbiting, gossiping, etc. So, you know what is the essence of criticizing, backbiting? That I am better than you. This is the essence. But the opposite also, how do I take others criticizing me? How do I cope with suffering? And there will be inevitably downsides of life. Everybody's life, there will be downsides. There is not true. I mean, very, very few families where everything goes on very well. And that too, not all the time. Most of the time it is Kurukshetra. Yeah, you know, and Kapulu started coming from Reddy many years back. They were recently married. So they told me, Swamiji, we made a program. Every day we read Mahabharata before going to bed. I said, how much have you finished? Did you come to Kurukshetra? The lady said that next day after marriage, Kurukshetra. So, holy
company,
all that. But now, when others criticize me, how do I take? Because it is a great lesson to teach us. If I cannot take other people's criticism, how much pain, hurt I do to other people when I criticize them. First. Secondly, when I criticize somebody, who is the real loser? Me. You know why? Criticism means only seeing the downside, the person's faults. And I am meditating earnestly by criticizing on other people's faults. And even if I don't have those faults, they will be there, but they become
mine
now. This is called collecting trash from everybody. Yeah, not only our trash itself is more, we go on collecting 24 hours all the dirt other people accumulate and bringing it into my bedroom. And there will be no space, including the bed. This is what we are doing. We are not understanding how much harm we are doing only to ourselves. On the contrary, what is the way? You find the good side. Everyone has got something better than what we have. Somebody could cook better. Somebody could speak better. Somebody could summarize better. Somebody could sing better. Everybody has got something good. Even if there are two singers, expert singers, some songs one singer could sing better than the other person.
Yes.
So that one of the spiritual qualities we need to develop is how to see the best side of other person. And what is that best side really?
God.
గాడ్ యద్యద్ విభూతి మత్సత్వం శ్రీమదూర్జితమేవ తత్తదేవ అవగచ్చత్వం మమైవ అంశ సంభవం. భగవద్గీత 10th chapter, ది లార్డ్ సేస్ వేర్ ఎవర్ యు సీ ఎక్సలెన్స్ నో దట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ మై మేనిఫెస్టేషన్ ఈజ్ నథింగ్ బట్ గాడ్. ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈజ్ మేనిఫెస్టేషన్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ ఓన్లీ. ది హోల్ యూనివర్స్ ఈజ్ ది మేనిఫెస్టేషన్ ఆఫ్ వాట్? పంచభూతాస్. పంచభూతాస్ కేమ్ ఫ్రమ్ వేర్? గాడ్ ఓన్లీ. ఆత్మన ఆత్మన ఆకాశ సంభూత ఆకాశ వాయు వాయో అగ్నే అభ్యహ అభ్యాం పృథివీ పృథివ్యాం ఔషధయ ఔషధీభ్యో అన్నం అన్నాత్ రసమయ పురుష. ది హోల్ యూనివర్స్ వాట్ ఎవర్ వి సీ ఇస్ నథింగ్ బట్ పంచభూత. దిస్ ఇస్ వాట్ సైంటిస్ట్ ఆర్ సేయింగ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈజ్ నథింగ్ బట్ మోడిఫికేషన్ ఆఫ్ వాట్? ఎనర్జీ ఆర్ మ్యాటర్. ఇట్స్ ఆల్ అండ్ ఓన్లీ ఎ టైనీ బిట్ ఆఫ్ దట్ ఎనర్జీ ఇస్ ట్రాన్స్ఫార్మ్డ్ ఇన్ టు మ్యాటర్. సో ఈవెన్ సైంటిస్ట్ సే దట్ ఇఫ్ యూ టేక్ ఎ పవర్ఫుల్ ఎలక్ట్రానిక్ మైక్రోస్కోప్ అండ్ లుక్ అట్ ఎనీథింగ్, యూ డోంట్ సీ మ్యాన్, ఉమన్, ఎనిమల్, కార్పెట్, లివింగ్, నాన్ లివింగ్, ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈజ్ రిడ్యూస్డ్ టు వాట్? ఎనర్జీ. సో దిస్ ఈజ్ ది ట్రూత్. అండ్ వాట్ ఈజ్ స్పిరిచువల్ లైఫ్? టు సీ సేమ్ థింగ్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్. విద్యా వినయ సంపన్నే బ్రాహ్మణే గవిహస్తిని శృణిచైవ శ్వపాకే చ పండితా సమదర్శిన. దిస్ ఇస్ ది గోల్. సో వీ హ్యావ్ టు కీప్ ఇన్ మైండ్, ఇఫ్ ఐ సీ గుడ్ వాట్ హ్యాపన్స్, యు నో దెర్ ఈస్ సంథింగ్ సైకలాజికల్లీ, వెన్ ఐ ఫైండ్ సంబడీస్ ఫాల్ట్ మై మైండ్ బికమ్స్ డార్క్ అండ్ దట్ మీన్స్ ఐ విల్ బి అన్హ్యాపీ. వెన్ ఐ సీ ది గుడ్ ఐ బికమ్ గ్లాడ్ అండ్ సో వెన్ ఐ క్రిటిసైజ్ గ్లూమ్, వెన్ ఐ సీ గుడ్ థింగ్ బ్లూమ్. దిస్ ఈస్ ది డిఫరెన్స్ బిట్వీన్ బ్లూమ్ అండ్ బ్లూమ్. డూ యూ వాంట్ గ్లూమ్ ఆర్ బ్లూమ్? సో హౌ డూ ఐ టేక్ అదర్స్ క్రిటిసైజింగ్? దెన్ యూ సీ లైఫ్ consists of opposites, happiness, unhappiness, life and death, good and evil, light and darkness, victory and defeat, honor and dishonor, profit and loss. There is no way, and it is also happens in everybody's life, not that it happens one person always wins and the other. Kare dauma brahmapado కార్య కురోమా అదోక. బట్ వాట్ వీ డోంట్ అండర్స్టాండ్, కార్య మీన్స్ వాట్? ఇన్ ది సేమ్ పర్సన్ సమ్ టైమ్స్ మదర్ కీప్స్ హిమ్ ఇన్ ఎ హై మూడ్ ఆర్ సమ్ టైమ్స్ ఇన్ ఎ లో మూడ్. వాట్ ఎవర్ ఈజ్ నెసరీ ఫర్ దట్ పర్సన్స్ డెవలప్మెంట్, దట్స్ వాట్ మదర్ డస్. బట్ ది వండర్ఫుల్ థింగ్ ఈజ్ వాట్ ఎవర్ హ్యాపెన్స్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఫర్ అవర్ గుడ్. ఎ మదర్ నెవర్ డస్ ఎనీథింగ్ ఫర్ అవర్ అన్హ్యాపీనెస్. Even though it is unhappiness, like surgeon performing surgery, is for the good of the patient or for the pleasure of the surgeon? That is how we have to take. Sometimes drastic surgery is needed. So, downsides of how do I take? Question yourself. And so many instances you can find out. Then, next, ask yourself, can I forget pain given by others, forgive them and pray for them? What did Jesus Christ say? So, pray for those who hurt you. Forgive the enemies and pray for them. That is what we need to do if we really want to be God. Does God ever forgive his enemies? What is the answer? The answer is no. He never forgives.
Because he loves.
Because he never knows what is being hurt. Yeah, Telugu, you know, Lord Venkateshwara story. How many people know about it? Beautiful story. So, once in a conference of devotees, beautiful. Only Hindus can create this kind of things. Nobody's brain works so creatively. Devotees had a conference and they wanted to decide which god among Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara is best. So, and whom did they appoint? The inspector, Bhrigu Maharshi. Bhrigu Maharshi. And first he goes to Brahma. And then he says, this, what Brahma knows, this fellow is. So Saraswati is playing Veena and this fellow's four heads are nodding. And they did not notice. How dare such a great rishi had come? You have not received me with honors. Bhrigu Maharshi, I curse you. Nobody is going to worship you. Like that. Then he went to Shiva. This story created by Vishnu devotee. So he went. Then at least Brahma and Saraswati were separate. Now when they came to Shiva, half Shiva and half Parvati. My God. And he did also not notice. They embraced each other, looking at each other, did not notice. And then he gave another curse. Then he went to Lord Vishnu. Then he found, you see, this man was lying, very relaxed. He was the only relaxed god in the world. And Lakshmi was lying. He did not take notice at all. Then, by this time, Bhrigu was boiling over with anger. So he went and gave a kick. And, oh my God, we householders, a rishi sannyasi had come. And we neglected taking, what a great aparadha we have done. And he took Bhrigu Maharshi, slowly started, you know, pressing. And there was an eye. And then he pressed it. It is all the egotism was due to that eye because he could, has extraordinary power. So this power was not there. How to judge what God is doing? God is resting him. He did not understand. Because of egotism. So he presses in such a way. Accidentally, that was erased. Then Bhrigu came down. He saw either Andite Jutu or So he came down and so Lord said, you are my child. So I will not take offense. Live like a good life. At Lakshmi, what? He kicked me. Because he kicked, you know, here, chest. And she always stays here, you know. Sri Kaustubham. So she will be here. I will not forgive you. So then she ran and came down to earth. I will not tell you the whole story. It is a wonderful story. And then Vishnu had no option. He had to come down because Srishti cannot be done without money. Yeah, even the what is it called? Reservice the Kaustubha. It costs money. So money was not there. So he came down. He was doing tapasya and all those things. Then lot of this rigmarole comes. She was born as the daughter of one king and he did not have money and he was living in a poor ashrama. Like that so many things happen. Anyway, what is my point? Why do you think people go to Tirupati? And peculiar, you know, Hindus, imagination. Is, you know what is his name, Venkateshwara's name? Oddi Kasulavadu. Vaddi Kasulavadu means, for his marriage, he borrowed lot of money from Kubera. Yeah, he had to pay through his nose, dowry. He had to pay dowry. Now, in the form of all the males, he is getting back. Anyway, why do people go to Tirupati? Only full desires. They don't want him. They want only what God can do for them. Of course, that Mahamaya also is given by him only. Yeah, he wants himself. Anyway, what is the point? We are talking about, yes, did Vishnu forgive Bhrigu or not? There was nothing to forgive. Then the conversation goes, God says to Lakshmi, so Lakshmi, why are you offended? Oh, no, this person had kicked me. Well, when you are suckling a baby, what do you think that baby is doing all the time? Only kicking you. And do you get offended? Does any mother get offended? Oh, I am giving you milk and you are not grateful and you are kicking me. Because she knows that he is not kicking. That is, he is playing. But he is playing on the body of the
mother.
And what the hell we are doing? Where are we walking?
Mother Earth.
Mother Earth. And where are we doing all the unwanted things? Answering calls of nature and everything? No, I don't do it. I do it in the toilet. The whole life, what are we doing? But does Mother Earth take offense?
No.
Oh, she knows, because there is no other way. And everything we have to do, she gives us food, she absorbs all the waste material, and then she looks after us. And in what way are we repaying her? Are we grateful? That is why we have to do Bhumi Puja, Jala Puja, Vayu Puja, Agni Puja, Akasha Puja. Where do we do Akasha Puja? Chidambaram.
Chidambaram,
what do we do? When you open the shrine, what is there?
Nothing.
Only just for the symbolism sake, they put one lamp there. That's all, nothing else. Because we are supposed, chit, ambara. Chit means consciousness. We are supposed to see God as the manifestation of consciousness in Chidambaram. Anyway, if God doesn't forgive, where will we go? Anyway, there is also, I can also make fun, you know. He had no option but to forgive. For many reasons. One reason is, supposing he says, that who gave this avidya that we are behaving like this? Who is responsible? He is responsible. First reason. Second reason, suppose he says that, no, I don't forgive. Get the hell out of here. I don't want to see your face. Let him try. Can he avoid seeing my face?
No.
So you see, God also has limitations. God has many limitations. God cannot go on a holiday.
That's true.
I can go on a holiday. Yeah. So, how do we forget the pain given by others? Forgive, pray for them. Now, the point is, if we pray for our enemies, or people who do not like us. When we say enemies, we should not understand that we have enemies. They may not like us, but we don't have any enemies. Like it is said, Yudhishthira, so one title is there. Ajata Shatru. No Shatru will ever be born to Yudhishthira, because he never considers anybody as an enemy. These are all wonderful things. But that doesn't mean others did not consider him as an enemy. That's Jesus Christ. I had no enemies. But it doesn't mean that there were people who hanged him, who crucified him, who vilified him, who whipped him. So many things they have done. So, do we do that? If I do not forget, if I do not forgive, and if I do not pray, am I going to become a devotee of God?
No.
That is the one. The next question we need to ask, am I attached to my family, to any persons, etc. Friends, religion, country, race, language, deity. Very important. So, am I attached to my family? Usually that is our bandhana. You know, husband, wife, children, parents, then relatives, then friends. This is the normal situation in life. Then what about religion? Are we attached to our religion? That means what? We don't like other religions. You be terribly attached, devoted to your religion. Attachment is a negative word. But devotion to one's religion is very important. But on that account, do I look down upon other religions? We do it all the time. Supposing, you know, you go to a village and there is a small image in a niche and somebody with a dirty cloth is kneeling down and putting your turmeric and kumkum. Do we do that? We don't do that. Do we say he is great devotee of God? He is also praying to God in his own way. Do we say that? We tend to look down, superstitious fellow. He is bowing down to all these meaningless images, etc. As though if it is nicely framed, it is acceptable. Mm. How many prejudices we encounter? What is the difference between our bowing down to Sri Ram Krishna, an illiterate villager, bowing down to a stone? What is the difference? Is there at all any difference? He is expressing the same thing, maybe in a different way. That's all. There is no difference at all. So that is called attachment to religion. Deity, then language. There are some people, you know, the moment we hear remotely somebody talking our language, immediately we make a beeline there. Yeah, that is how these cults, sects, etc., they form. So what should be the criteria? Surprising thing is, that it is said about Jews, we can apply it to everybody. If two Jews are shipwrecked in an island, they will immediately build three synagogues. One for each one of them. The third, they would be too proud to go. I don't even look at that synagogue. What is the whole India before Thakur came? Vaishnavas, Shaktas, Shaivas, etc., etc. That is what we are doing. Even now, do we really wholeheartedly think that a Muslim is equal to a Hindu? Do we really think? No, we don't think. If at all there is any religion which is the worst religion in the world, that would be Islam, especially whenever you hear some bomb is done, some car has rammed, etc. But it is all done by whom? By some extremists, not everybody. An ordinary Muslim, he is not bothered about anybody. He is only bothered about his survival, his happiness, like anybody else. But unfortunately, some misguided fanatics, they are influencing, forcing, even they kill them. If you don't follow us, yes, we will kill you. And they kill more of Muslims than anybody else. Yeah, you just let the foreign forces come out from Iran, Iraq, Syria and other places. Now you see the maja, who kills who. All problems will be solved. They will kill themselves. Yeah. But then what happens? If they do that one, the Western countries want to, they poke their nose and they get punched. And then they don't withdraw their nose because they know. They think they know better than anybody. Trump knows. Anyway, what is it? We're talking about, are you attached? But attachment means what, do you know? Attachment means dependence. I cannot live without. That is called attachment. Does Sri Ram Krishna enjoy sweets? Does he enjoy good, yes, what we call music, etc. He does all those things. What is the difference? He is not dependent upon me. If it is there, I will enjoy it to the fullest extent. If it is not there, it's absolutely fine. He will not even think about it. That is attachment and attachment. Attachment and attachment. We are attached to all these things. But he is also attached. Only God. He depends only upon Divine Mother. And very important, this country. We are all victims of that. Attachment to one country. We are all what? Indians? Who said that? We are all living where? It is said, 7 feet if you walk on any country, you become citizen of that country. How many years we have been living here? But supposing there is a cricket match between India and Pakistan and India wins, whose BP goes up? Our BP goes up. Blood pleasure. Suppose Pakistan wins.
Blood pressure.
We are not judging who plays well and then we don't appreciate the merit. So this is what Swamiji says, shopkeeping. This is attachment and a devotee should never have. What does God do? He sees, he enjoys equally the play. Sometimes these people will win, sometimes the other people will win. This is all a play, nothing else. So, these are the things. The most important two things, Kamini and Kanchana. Am I attached to money? Am I attached to sex pleasure? Usually we don't talk these things. But you have to talk. If you are a devotee, put this question. Am I attached to these two things? Only when we can say that I am not attached, I am not a slave. But how do we know? Money. How do we know? Usually attachment works in two ways. Either we become greedy or we become miserly. So what is greediness? I want more. What is miserliness? I don't want to give up. Even when the scripture is telling, if you give, then it will only come back to 1,000-fold. But if anybody, any confidence trickster says, you give me $5 note, I will make, convert into $500. Immediately we give. But scripture is telling, I will give you 1,000 times more in the form of, but next life, not in this life. That's why we don't trust. What is your stock trading? Tell me, what is your stock marketing?
Immediate.
Yes, think over it. So, ask yourself a question. Will Sri Ramakrishna put his money in stock trading? Even if somebody says it's guaranteed, will he put? I don't know. He is a very practical man, you know.
Fixed deposit, I think.
But even if he puts it, his motive will be, if I get, it will go the service of others. That is the story we have to, the moral lesson we have to learn from whom? Sudama, Bhakta Sudama and Upendranath Mukherjee. And he got, make a multimillionaire. He used most of his income only in the service of Ramakrishna Mission, poor people, etc. Not otherwise. Sudama. Wonderful Bhagavata story. God gave him, when he came back to his village, Kuchera. Bhakta Kuchera. Very holy person. Chela means, you know, what is Chela? Not Chela. Chela means disciple, follower. Chela means wearing cloth. Ku means holy. Lots of holes. That's why it's called Kuchela. In South India, it's better known as Kuchela. But in North India, it's better known as Sudama. Not Dhamma. Dhamma. Sudama. So he went, as you know, with a bit of flattened rice. And then he was refusing to view beautiful scenery in Bhagavatam. I have never read such a heart-moving story. Sri Krishna saw this ugly-looking person at the gate, far away gate. He was sitting on a, what is called?
Swing.
Swing. With Rukmini. Immediately he ran and then fell at the feet of Kuche Sudama. My friend, after how many years you remembered me? Because they did not meet since they parted from the Gurukula. And he, Telugu Bhagavatam is giving the description, Potana. He is thinking, my God, he is a king. And he is treating me like king. He ran without chappal, etc., in the dust. And then he took him, made him sit, and Rukmini was
fanning.
And then they, female companions of Rukmini, they were wondering what type of austerity this man had performed that Lakshmi herself is waving, even though his clothes were like that, full of dust. Then Sri Krishna brings a big thala and padapuja. He wipes away and then sprinkles perfume and then takes or makes arrangement for bathing, etc., gives them right royal clothes, and then the female companions were fanning, Krishna and Sudama were eating. Then they were recollecting all the incidents that had happened at the Gurukula, Sandipani's ashrama. Then Sri Krishna asked, my friend, after a long time you have come to see me. Definitely you are not come empty-handed. You must have brought something. The royal dishes he was being served and he was eating. And when Sudama saw this, he had no mind even to tell that I have got some dried chide, flattened rice. So he was not able to say anything. But Sri Krishna himself is looking, yes, here is something bundled. He definitely must have brought something. He opened himself, took one handful. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachyati tadaham bhakti upakrutam ashnami prayatatmanaha. Every word is important. Ashnami means I eat. Prayata atmanaha, with great, tremendous, you know, zeal, happiness, and I eat that. I pay all the attention because it is offered bhaktya upakrutam. Is brought with great devotion. Then he ate. And that one fistful has aroused his appetite. Then he wanted to take another fistful. Then Lakshmi Rukmini caught his eye. Whatever you have eaten is sufficient to make him rich for a million lives. You don't need to do. Of course, Krishna understands it. But I understand it only. Husband wants to give.
Yes.
Thakur says, you know, shall we give foreigners? Huh? Foreigners? The money is falling from the sky. Just to give him one anna. That is more than enough. If he doesn't want, bring it back. And the poor husband, what can I do? I am a karma yogi. I give all, you know, I am totally detached from all this money and other things. Anyway, so Krishna didn't ask one question. Why did you come? Because he knows why he has come. And he had, Sudama had no words to speak out because he was so much ashamed. He was given right royal palatial bed, and whole night the royal maidens were fanning him. Morning, he did his sandhya vandana, etc. Then Krishna went, bid farewell, and Sudama was walking. Then Bhagavatam, Putana Bhagavatam, is thinking, Krishna is antaryami. Even Gopikas know that. Nakhalu Gopika Nandana Bhavan Akhila Dehinam Antaratma Dri Gopi Gita. They are hymning, Krishna, you are not the son of an ordinary cowherdess woman. You are the indweller in every being in this world. Even Gopikas knew that. He was devoted to God. So he was thinking, Krishna didn't ask. He did not give me any money. Why? Because he knows better than anybody. If any devotee gets money, then he will forget devotion. He will become a worldly person. For my own good, the Lord, out of infinite compassion, did not offer me anything. Then the miracle happened. He went to his village. He stood in front of his house. Where was the house? There was a palace. And everybody in that house was dressed like a royal family. He was wondering, did I commit any mistake? Then his wife comes out like Lakshmi Devi. Don't you recognize me? This is Lord's grace. Anyway, the symbolism is, thereafter, he had more than enough. But how did he spend his money? Only in two things. Daiva Seva and Dina Seva. Sadhu Seva and Dina Seva. That's all. Only in holy spiritual activity. He spent all his money. So, or am I attached to money? The answer should come from within ourselves, not from anybody else. So, sex also is one of the most, what is called, binding agent in our life. Sri Ramakrishna knew he is God. That's why he gave license. A husband and wife can live this kind of life. For how long? After the birth of one or two children, then they should try to live like brothers and sisters. So, what is important? What is the symbolism of sex? What is spirituality? To think, I am not the body, I am not the mind. What does sex do? It brings our attention to the body. So here also, the Yoga Shastra gives a very detailed description. It is not merely physical act, looking upon other person as a person of enjoyment and inhaling the fragrance that comes from the other person, keeping an object belonging to that person and dwelling upon it, association, hearing their conversation, and thinking in the mind, the sweet words spoken by the other party, all this, Ashtavidha. Maithuna is Ashtavidha, eightfold. What? That is the characteristic of what? Maithuna is a characteristic of what? Ahara Nidra Bhaya Maithunancha Samana Metat Pashuver Narana. So the teaching is about sex is, it is to reduce body consciousness. That is the point. When we know we are not the body, and later on we are not the mind, then only one choice is there. There are only three things. Consciousness, body, mind. I am not the body, I am not the mind, then who am I?
Consciousness.
That is the idea. So, this is one point. Another point is that what does sex really mean? Happiness, pleasure. So, if a devotee is getting more joy from repeating God's name, we do everything. For what purpose? We eat, have sex, all these things. Only one purpose. What is it?
Happiness.
Happiness. If we can get more happiness, and it is much more economical, Yeah, you don't need to do anything. Just remember God. That's all. Nothing else. Very economical, you know. Then you don't need to eat all sorts of things. Just you don't need to put on costly garments or anything. And one of the things, you know, there was a village. And there was a washerman. And the villagers washed their clothes only once in a month. So that fellow, so business is not going well. So he came, nearby there was a Ramakrishna mission. So he came to the Swami and said, "Swami, my business is not running well. I'm a washerman, what to do?" The Swami thought and said, "Maybe this is not a good place. There is another village. There are 500 people living there. Your business might improve. You go there." So this fellow, believing the Swami, he shifted the whole business there. And within one day he found out all 500 were Digambaras. Digambaras.
Aren't even lying
flat. Yeah. So whatever we do is only for
happiness.
If we can get that happiness, this is another point we have to remember. If not more, at least we must get equal amount of happiness in spiritual activities. Then only we will be able to disassociate ourselves from these things. So, put a question. I mean, we are Japamala, this or that, Rudraksha, and all those things. Markamala. But, am I attached? If I am attached, what is the next step? Try to overcome it. This we have to question. This is not an answer to be given by anybody. This is an answer. Each individual, husband must give the answer, wife must give the answer, and every individual must give the answer. That is important. Now we will come something even better. Am I aware of my thoughts, speech and actions? Above all, motives. Three things are there. Mm-hmm. Thoughts, then speech, and then actions. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita, three types of tapasya. Sharirgata tapasya, Vachika tapasya and Manasika tapasya. Deva, Dvija, Guru, Pujanam, Brahmacharyam, Ahimsa, and then what is that? Manah Prasada Saumyatvam, Maunam Atma Vinigraha, Bhava Samshuddhirita, Tapo Manasamuchyate, etc. So, do I speak truth? And do I speak unpleasant truth? Do I speak harmful truth? What is truth? Not speaking what is truth. Truthfulness means speaking what is beneficial to people. That alone is truthfulness. Otherwise, truthfulness, you know, can harm other people. And that is worse than telling a lie. So if you can tell a lie, but it is beneficial, then that is called truth. Mahabharata story, you know? Mm-hmm. Which is story?
The deer. Chased by the hunter.
There was a rishi. Some people wanted to hunt a deer. So they were chasing. They found a deer and they were chasing it. And this deer was trying to escape. It went in front of the rishi. He had seen it. And it ran away. Then soon, these hunters came, seeing a holy man, they bowed down to him and then said, "Did you see a deer passing in front of you?" He said, "Yes." "In which direction?" "It went," so that they could follow. He showed the opposite direction. Then they all went away that way. This is the story. Then the Mahabharata tells us that this is called practice of truthfulness. Why? Because if he had told the truth, he would have been participant in the death of the deer. Then he would incur sin. Because he told the truth, the hunters would get papa. So that is the second. Then the deer would have been killed. Three, all the three would have been harmed. By telling this lie, he saved the deer. He saved those people from the sin of killing. And he saved himself from participating as a partner in the sin. Because by telling verbally also. So this is most important for us to understand. Truthfulness is not just to omit verbally what we have experienced. If it is, doesn't do any harm, it is tell the truth. And if it is going to do harm, definitely, we know it is going to do harm, then don't tell it. But if you know that it is going to do good, make sure you tell it. This is called truthfulness. And truthfulness lead to what?
Truth seeking.
Truth speaking leads to truth seeking. And what is the ultimate truth? God. Sat. This is the what we are. So, am I aware of my thoughts? My speech. Speech could do lot of harm. Most misunderstandings come only we just talk. Maybe sometimes we don't mean it. But how do we know the other persons don't take it in the opposite way, wrong way? They are not sure. Better that we should do. Sometimes keep quiet. And it is good also to observe a bit of silence. So speech and actions. Do I know what action I am doing? And we will be far from being a devotee if we really observe what we are doing. But above all, most important, what is the motive? When you are talking to somebody, what is the motive? Do you prefer this person to the exclusion of the other person? So the mind should never, somebody's mobile is okay?
Yes.
Yeah. We should be aware of the motives. So suppose a person goes to Tirupati and then praying, what is my motive? Is it to get God or is it to make God do my bidding? Yes. A devotee should always pay emphasis on that. Then, do I react instinctively, emotionally and regret later? Ask yourself. Most of the time we are only reacting what?
Emotionally.
And then later on we understand, it is good to regret, but it is not enough. After regretting we say, I would try not to repeat this next time. That is a devotee's characteristic. Otherwise, yes, I regret, so I am free. I confessed all my sins on Sunday. I am now ready for next bout. A confessional is not meant for that kind of thing at all. Then, am I rational? Do I see other's point of view? Can I stand in the other person's shoe? A devotee must develop this. Because you know, many times people don't do bad things out of bad motive. It could be ignorance. Or it could be because they are slaves of habit. So we should not judge in any case. We should say that, can I see the other person's point of view? Many quarrels can be avoided if we can ask this question. Why is this person talking, behaving, reacting in this way? Can I put myself in the other person's shoes? Somebody said, you know, that you walk 1 mile in the other person's shoes before you dare to criticize other person. It is very practical. In case he decides to take it upon you, first thing is you are 1 mile away. And second is he doesn't have shoes. So it is very useful, you know. Next, do I have the habit of looking down upon others? Always we are comparing. In every way, physically, intellectually, emotionally, mentally, even so-called stupid is spiritual. Yeah, we have to find out. And mostly the answer would be, yes, I look down upon somebody and I look up to somebody. This is what is called, do I suffer from inferiority or superiority complex? So how much influence this has, psychologists are pointing out. Even physical personality. Simple example, here is a person, 5 feet tall. And when a person who is walking beside him is 6 feet tall, automatically his personality shrinks. But when a person who is 4 feet tall is walking by his side, he tries to put his hand on the other person's shoulder. Unconsciously, we are exhibiting complex. So we have to be careful. Yeah. Then, very important thing, do I crave others' attention and react accordingly? We are all cravers of attention. That's why, you know, when children sing, we appreciate. That's good, we encourage them. But when we are mature, we are always looking for other people's appreciation. This is the sheer slavery. Let me do what I know right and good. That is it. I don't care what the other person, how the other person, whether cheers, appreciates or these things. But sometimes people also, that is also another disease, you know, excessive praise. Yeah, that is also a disease. Excessive praise, I don't know, what does it mean? It means the person has nothing substantial of one's own. So you just live on other people's leavings. That's all. So too much excessive praise is also bad. And not appreciate other people's goodness, etc., is also not good. There must be a straight balance. But most important, what is the question?
Do I crave
other people? We are all like that, socially groomed to be conscious. If our boss doesn't appreciate, if our colleagues do not appreciate, if our, you know, partner doesn't say, suppose the partner is in the habit of saying, I love you 3 times. And one day he says it only 2 times. Immediately worry starts. That why did he stop saying 3rd time? Is he thinking of somebody else? You see, hidden or unconscious thing like that. This is one of the worst, what we call, undevotional characteristics. The only attention we need to crave is only one.
God.
Only God. If he is, you know, giving us attention, we crave his attention, that's absolutely fine. Not any human being. Why? Because that means I rely upon other constant, you know, some people constantly require this praise. Otherwise their spirit will go down. Yeah. So ask your question, do I crave others' attention? This is the most common thing. Children also. If nobody, the psychologists have told, you know, a child is playing there. And he stumbles, falls down, and he looks here and there. If nobody is there, he will dust himself and goes on. But the moment he sees mother's sari, if nobody is there, you simply get up and do it. We are all mustached babies. Who said that? Swami Vivekananda. We behave like, you know, not child, childish behavior, not child. Child's behavior is very good, innocent, and we have to learn from the child. Whatever the child does is totally absorbed. For the time being, he will not be thinking something else. Later on, we teach him. Yeah, so many things. One of our swamis told a story. Is always the father says, Satyam Vada, speak truth. So one day, this father saw is the school teacher. He is the state school teacher coming. And he knows this person is coming only for asking some loan. So he told the child that when this person knocks, open the door and say that I am not at home. So the teacher came and he opened this door and he asked, "Where is your father?" And the child said, "My father asked me to tell you that he is not at home." The teacher understands. But the point is, what is the impact upon the child? My father says speak the truth, but it is okay to tell the untruth. If this is the kind of thing they are learning from our behavior, not from what we say. That's why I told you Madhavananji's story, remember? Swami Madhavananji. I told you here?
Yeah, Maharaj.
Hmm? 2-3 days back?
Yeah. First you do this whole list of the things.
Whole list. In case new people are there. Some devotees, householders came to Swami Madhavananji, who was our past president. And their question was, how do we make our children better children? So they expected him to give some answer. Then he was very sharp mind, extremely sharp. He said, "Usually what advice do you give to your children? You write down." And they gave him a list. He gave them back and said, "Now first you practice it, and if there are any more questions, you come and ask me." After that they never appeared. Yeah, this is the truth. Children imitate what we do, not what we say. And it is said, children also have the intuition to feel, you know, if the mother is depressed, father is depressed, not happy, and they had a tiff each with each other. But in front of the children, they behave very nicely. And all those things, there is a papulodoko. So it is not going to happen. Because the children, they can intuit they are not happy with each other. It affects their lives. That's why psychologists say, if a person's family, childhood background is unhappy, then the child also develops. But it's absolutely not true. Because Western psychologists have not understood that a child comes with its own samskaras. Somebody can be a saint from the same environment, somebody can be also a rogue. This is happens. And the best illustration is Swamiji's own family. Swamiji was a rishi. And he's Bhupendranath Datta. He was a pakka communist. He criticized that without looking after the family, my elder brother ran away and became a sannyasi. He wrote a very big book. He appreciated Swamiji's social activities, but not this thing. Okay. So, do you crave other people's attention and react accordingly? This is a most important point. Devotees are Swamis. Swamis also fall under the same category. Suppose some devotees always they come and bring nice soup. You know, nice food, nice fruits, nice this thing. And some people just come and they make pranams and go. Then, will the Swami look upon them equally or will he develop a kind of favoritism towards the other devotee? Yes, it is also there. You know, so I tell you, you know, when I tell a joke and then the devotee who laughs loudest will be dear to me. And the person glum face he keeps. I keep him. Next time I won't look at that face whenever I tell a joke. You know, we are so much influenced. Who is paying attention? This is called craving attention. So also speech. So also many other things. So devotees are also complimentary, you know. Which Swami is paying attention? Which Swami says, "Oh, they are very great devotees, you know." And then they are very happy. Whether they are devotees or not is not important. So the Swami's certificate is important. And who stays close to the Swami who stays very far away from this Swami. Yes, the devotees will be glaring at the other devotees. If they could have the power of Kaushika, they would have burned them. What horrible play Mahamaya is playing upon us. And like idiots, we are going along this thing. And yet we are doing japa meditation. They are not going to affect. And some devotees have got that other problem also. The more japa a person does, then the more devotee he thinks. He doesn't understand. God doesn't care how many times you are, you know, moving this wheel. How much you are really devoted to Him. How does He judge? Not by our japa. He judges by our actions, character. That is all He is there. Okay, next question is very important. Do you practice anuddharsha and anavasada? Anuddharsha means too much of excitement, too much of emotional reaction. Anuddharsha, there should be some uddharsha, excitement, not too much. And then what is the opposite? Anavasada, not too much of depression. Most of the time, depression is a sign of mental sickness. So, a little bit sadness we should be. There is a difference between sadness and depression. Depression is a mental disease. Sadness when we hear some events which are undesirable, some accident, some illness of others, then we have to become sad. But how much? Not too much, only a little bit. So this is called balance. And this is one of the definitions of yoga. Samatvam yoga vichyate. What are we talking about? Samatvam means what? Manaha prasadaha saumyatvam maunam atma vinigraha bhava samshuddhiritya tapo manasa bhuchyate. So samatvam, balance. Not absence, but balance. What happens? Balance? Quickly we can recover. You know, every moment when we are walking, there is a balance. Because we also tilt a little bit, isn't it? There is a slope we are tilting. But we keep the balance so that if something happens, we can quickly recover and come back to the position. So, am I practicing? Am I serene? Then, do I have nishtha or steadfastness? Does my spiritual practice depend upon my mood or external conditions? You know, sometimes very cloudy, rainy for 3-4 days. It has a tremendous effect upon our mind. Mood, cloud, black, darkness also has an effect upon our mind. So, am I depending upon my mood or in my spiritual practices or whatever be the condition of the mind? Am I doing what am I supposed to? That is where Shabari. How many days were the days of disappointment?
8 years.
99 years. Every day was a disappointment. You follow what I'm talking? Your guru told Rama will come to you. He did not say when. Every day she was expecting with fruits. But then days passed. Months passed, years passed, decades passed, she became 99. When did he come? On the last day of her life. On the last day. Seeing Rama, he said, I don't want to live after seeing your face. I want to die looking at your face. And he also performed her funeral singing, just like he would do to his own mother later on. This is called an example in steadfastness. Nishtha. The word is nishtha. That is why Swami Ashokanandaji had outlined 4 pillars of wisdom. What are they? Achara, nishtha, shraddha and dhyana. Achara means what? You decide for yourself a routine and say, this is what I am going to follow. And then as we go on following, then it becomes a pleasant duty. If we don't do, we feel uneasy. You know, like if you don't brush your teeth in one day, you feel something is there. If it is 2 days, everybody else also... You don't need to remind yourself. Everybody else will be staying at a respectable distance. Yeah. So this is called nishtha. What does it lead to? Shraddha. So nishtha is a habit. What is shraddha? Shraddha means understanding comes. Faith comes. This is good. Only then we can build up the fourth one. What is it called? Dhyana. It's a beautiful analysis. We all start only with certain external habits, of which our guru says, you sit here, you do a little bit of japam, you do this, you do that. This is called
achara.
Achara. And then, in course of time, if we do it every day, it turns into nishtha. How do we know? If we don't do one day, we feel very
uneasy,
unhappy. And until we complete it, we don't feel happy. Then we know nishtha has come. Then nishtha leads to understanding. Shraddha. This is called shraddha. And that is what happened to Nachiketa. First achara, then he did it nishtha, then shraddha came, then he was capable of meditating and understanding what type of boons I should ask Yamadharmaraja. Simply, if somebody, Sri Ramakrishna comes and says, I will give you a boon, what do you want? You think that you can ask anything you want? Yeah, this happened to what happened? Chandra. Chandra as a devotee, as a worker in Udbodhan. So, he was very proud because he had access to Holy Mother at any time, day or night. He could just run. Mother also loved him and she initiated him also. She used to call him lovingly Chandra, like that. And he was one of the recipients of Holy Mother's love and compassion. So, because he was doing Mother's work, he had access. That made him egotistic, that I can ask Holy Mother anything I want. Madhavananda noticed it. And one day he asked him, Chandra, you are so close to Holy Mother. Can you do one thing? Can you ask her something? So you know Udbodhan, our mother's house, upstairs Holy Mother, downstairs, you know, office and other things. So they were all there brushing their teeth. Then Chandra said, what do you want me to ask Holy Mother? You just go and ask her that I want mukti. I want liberation. He said, just wait, just run, go up and come back. As he was climbing, his knees started, you know, is shaking. He never had this problem before. And at that time, mother sat for puja, very grave. And then he entered. By the time he entered the puja room, he had no courage to ask her anything. Then she... What do you want? He said, prasada. She showed. Say, prasada, take it, get the hell out of here. So, what are we talking about? Yeah. So, is...
If we don't ask them, who else will we ask?
The point is not that. Point is, when we develop these things, dhyana, so achara, then nishtha. Achara matures into nishtha. Nishtha matures into shraddha. When shraddha comes, the mind becomes capable of asking the important questions. Then he, Nachiketa's case, he approached Yamadharmaraja and he was crystal clear. There are three bones. First bone, so, lowest type of human being. He wants only happiness of this world. Even that is also not the very lowest. Enlightened lowest. a little more rational person, he thinks about future. What about next life? What about next life? Okay, that is the how to attain Svargaloka. But the most intelligent person asks only one question. How can I be permanently happy? Atma Jnanam. And that's what he asked. And then you know that story. Yamadharmaraja made him go through lot of rigmaroles, tests. I'll give everything. You can enjoy long life. Very interesting question. What do you mean by long life? What do you mean by long life? What is a mosquito's long life? 3-4 days. But is it 3-4 days for the mosquito?
No.
Or is it 100 years for the mosquito? From the mosquito's point of view, it is 100 years, isn't it? So, you understand that? For human being, 100 years, that is his measurement. Suppose he goes to Svargaloka. So from human point of view, Svargaloka is many, many, many thousands of years and best happy things in the world.
Right.
But does he feel that I lived here for thousands of years? He only feels my life is very short, only 100 years. And there also, there is a hierarchical is there. First come, first serve. And if somebody has done more punya, he will get, you know, what is that colony? A colony. Some less punya, B colony. Even less punya, C colony. And all the others, D colony. This hierarchy is there. Even there, hierarchy. Just as in this world, there is an hierarchy, isn't it? Very rich people, middle class people, lower class people, even less than lower class people. So same thing is repeated there. So what is the point? That experience should never be compared to this experience. And they have their own problems. Jealousy and power mongering. And what about these asuras? Constantly they are keeping a telescopic view. When are we going to attack these fellows? Do you think, is it worrying or not? We think that, you know, is worry-free. There is nothing worry-free. They have their own problem. Because any type of life will have its own
duality.
Life only Advaita, no problem. Dvaita, problem. Wherever you go, even Brahmaloka also. So one of our Swamis is telling. When I was giving a talk, one devotee is saying, looking again and again at the clock. I noticed it. I told him, you see, what is your goal? You will go to Brahmaloka after all this. You know how many hours Brahma takes class? I am very generous. It is only 1.5 hours. There he goes on and on. If you cannot tolerate my 1.5 hours, what is going to happen to you there? Yeah, you feel like dying, but you can't die. You can't fall asleep, you can't die. This is living torture. It really happened, you know. One Swami Sambuddhanandaji. You heard about him? He was a disciple of Holy Mother. And he was head of Mumbai Center. He was in this habit. Once he catch hold of the microphone, either he should have heart attack or the microphone. So once he was invited, and 3 hours he was going, he has not even started. The audience got terribly bored. They started, you know, Swami, you know, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. They started this chanting. He understood. He is a very intelligent person. He understood. He said, look here, if you keep quiet, I will stop in another 1.5 hours. Otherwise, I will go for another 3 hours. Now choose what you want. And they all became quiet. And he finished within, I think, 45 minutes or something. He had finished it. So, Brahmaji's class would last, you know, forever and ever. But here at least, you can sleep. There Brahmaji has got four heads. In four directions.
No respite.
And he doesn't tell jokes.
And he cannot tell jokes.
Very grave, you know, and all those things. Anyway, what is the point where have we got Nishta one? Last. Do you have definite CBT affirmations? It's very important. You devise your own affirmations depending upon what is your diagnosis of your defects. I am supposing a simple example. I am not regular in my spiritual practice. What should be the affirmation? I will try to be regular and steadfast in my spiritual practices. Then suppose you find you are in the habit of criticizing other people or reacting without thinking much. What should be the affirmation? I will try not to react emotionally, not to criticize, but I will try to see the best in the others. So these affirmations we have to devise according to our, this is like specific medicines targeted to specific diseases. So we have to devise. This is what CBT is doing, cognitive behavior therapy. And they are helping millions of people all over the world. So I would prefer that let us do japa of these affirmations, which will remind us what I need to do to correct our behavior, rather than going on doing japa, puja and other. They should be also done. But this is very important. This is how we can grow slowly to become devotees of God. So first thing, what I said, never answer I am a devotee of God. This is a goal. I have to reach that goal. And then find out some of the things that we had discussed now. Of all the things, most important is see the best in other people. Do not criticize. Do not gossip. Gossip is the worst. Every ashrama you will see. Sometimes even the heads of the centers are also gossiping. All politics, these, that, so many things. Anyway, I don't know. They are the people who are supposed to correct other people. So we have to be careful. It is the onus, the responsibility is upon each one of us. God has given us human birth, the power to discriminate, to find out what needs to be done, what needs to be corrected, which direction we need to go, and with the help of these affirmations. This is the first thing. What is the last thing? Before going to bed, a review. The whole day. What did I do? Where did I miss? Can I improve myself? And if we do this, definitely we'll be becoming better and better devotees. Until God Himself, He certifies we are devotees. And that certificate comes in the form of realization, self-knowledge. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Now, few minutes if you have any questions.
You said that we should love people without getting upset. So, in respect of children, how do we exercise that?
Thakur had already given the answer. Live in the world like a maid servant. Never ever think they are my children. You and your own body, mind do not belong to you. So always think only in the way that Thakur has given me this body, Thakur has given me this mind. So also Thakur has given the children. And you are only just an occasion for their bodies to come out. You are not responsible for their samskaras. But as parent, you want to give your best. So first you behave how you want them to behave. And then tell them, encourage them, do it. In the childhood, you know, you can take them to the shrine and repeat stotrams, etc. But once they grow up, do not become either excited or depressed by what is happening. Because it all happens according to their own samskar. That is the truth. That is how every one of us must behave in this world.
Maharaj, in one of your lectures, you were explaining on this idea of unattached love towards children, that if we can think all the children as our children, is that also considered like unattachment? Like, was this?
Yes. You see, if you particularize, that is called attachment. If we remove that particularization, it is called love. You see, if you love your own children, that is called attachment. If you love everybody, that is really true love. What is the problem? Attachment. You depend upon it. What is the characteristic of love? You are the master. Yes. That is what we should develop. Why do we call Holy Mother Holy Mother? She has absolutely no discrimination. All are my children. And her teaching has been reflected in that. If you want peace of mind, then four commandments.
Yeah.
No one is a stranger. That is one of the things, commandments. Make the whole world your own. That is what we have to do. This is called spirituality. To see God in everything means what? You say, I love God. And you see God in something. You love that. That means there is no discrimination there. Isn't it? You can only love. You don't depend upon that. Ultimately, even loving God also, depending upon God also, is a bondage. Until that point is like a big thorn. That's why Sri Ramakrishna was advised by Totapuri, cut your all thoughts, including the thought of your mother. Yesterday Priti was asking, I don't know. Is Brahman is also an idea in the mind? Yes, it is an idea. It is called Brahma Akara Vritti. But don't take it by that. There is no Brahma. That which makes us tick is Brahman. So when mind is removed, what remains?
Brahma.
Pure consciousness remains. But it is indescribable.
Swamiji, I have a question. What are three types of tapasya? I didn't get to write it.
In the Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavan Krishna, he elaborates bodily, verbal and mental. Manasika, vachika, kayika. Devat Vijaguru Prajna Pujanam Shaucham Arjavam Brahmacharyam Ahimsacha Shariram Tapa Uchyate. Worshipping gods, God says, elderly people, respectful people. Worshipping means what? To show respect to them. That is the worship. Not that you have to give something to them. I don't mind if you give, bring me something. That's a different issue. So, Anudvegakaram Vakyam Satyam Priyahitam Chayat Swadhyaya Abhyasanam Chaiva Vangmayam Tapa Uchyate. So, Manaha Prasadaha Samshuddhi Bhava Samshuddhi. Manaha prasada saumyatvam. So the mind should be kept serene, cheerful, active. Etat tapo manasam uchyate. Bhavasamshuddhi means purity of the thoughts. So these are the three types. So you go to the Bhagavad Gita, and I think it is in the either 17th or 18th probably. 18th chapter. It is there. So these are the things we are supposed to practice. Puja, three types of puja, three types of yajna. So three types. According three types means sattvika, rajasika and tamasika. And we are supposed to do all these things. Tapasya. This is real tapasya. And then standing in cold water, standing on one foot, and these are all, some people do it, but mostly they do it for the achievement of some siddhis or something like that. You know, sometimes in South Indian feet, they put hooks in their back, and Tamil Nadu it is there, they pull.
In Bengal they do too.
Bengal also?
Yes.
Oh. These somehow they do it, and walking on the fire, etc. But the Lord did not approve of it. He says, Karshayantam Sharirastham Bhutagramam Achetasa. This is torturing me, he says. But some people, they want to show their willpower. We have to admire. Yeah. In Christian monastery, they used to flag themselves,
yes,
you know, with whips. Even now some people do that as a form of tapasya. More important is to control the body and mind and direct it towards God. Mm-hmm. That's important. Yeah.
I have one question. Recently, I read Swamiji's quote saying, take up one ideal and give your life for it. So if we, like all the things that you said, Maharaj, today, if we start one, so does all the things come along with the Maharaj?
You see, I will give you the answer. But the first point you need to understand is, this is a gang. All good qualities never come in isolation. They don't come in individual packages. They all come in one package. That means if you want to practice one, you will have to practice the other ones also. For example, if you want to stop criticizing anybody, how do you stop?
Seeing goodness.
So automatically it comes. And then if you want to stop criticizing, you have to find out a better use for your time, your energy, etc. Otherwise, if you don't have anything to occupy, then this would be the easiest way. Because you feel bad. Even the remedy for feeling bad is making other people feel bad. So I am much better than other people like that. You understand now? It's all, the whole package comes together. Like, you know, that one small boy asked his father, Dad, how much money you spent for your marriage? Dad said, I don't know, my son. Even now I am spending. Not only he is spending, he will be spending until that fellow gets married. And he will have children. And then this taking that children, these monkey-faced children, because his grandchildren. Thakur, he says, you know, it bother mukhe niye. Wherever entertainment is there, he will go like that. So, this one sadhana means what? All these things come together. Because these are different expressions of the same thing. All bad things are different expressions of something bad. All good things are different expressions of same good thing. So, I would say, now I will give the answer, that find the best in everybody. You see, the moment you practice, in the beginning you can answer, it's very difficult. Especially those who are nearby. To see good somebody in Australia or Mars is very easy. But to see the immediately fellow is very difficult. But I will see the best. Everything else follows. And that is God's spiritual progress. What is spiritual? To see God in everything. What do you mean by seeing God? You will be having, you know, four hands and all those chakras and all. What does that mean?
Seeing divinity everywhere.
You see God manifest in some form or the other. Even the worst form is only manifestation of
God
only. Yes. One idea. But you have to understand. One ideal means what? Usually you follow Ramakrishna said. One religion, one scripture, one guru, one Ishtadevata, and one mantra. Stick to it. This is the idea of chastity. Husband and wife, they must be chaste. Chaste means what? They will love only their wives and their husbands for this life. Janma Janmantra also they say. But if you are too tired of Janma Janmantra, at least one life. Yeah. Some women were asked by journalists, do you want the same husband next life also? They all said, what are you talking about? Not only next life. We want for the next seven lives the same husband. The journalists were, you know that? Journalists were astonished. He said, why? How? No, he said, after wasting so much time training him.
A known devil is better than an unknown
one. No, that is different. Trained.
Trained? I think on training.
We don't want to waste any more time for the next seven lives. Aram se?
Relax. Oh, it seems somebody, there is a joke. A lady asks, I want the same husband for next many lives. God says, under one condition I can. You will get the same mother-in-law. No. I don't want
that. Yeah. But there are also people, you know, our Sudipta, Nivedita.
Yeah.
He says, this is my mother. And she is grief-stricken because she really loved the mother-in-law. And mother-in-law never behaved like mother-in-law. That's behaved true. Like only like her own daughter. That is a very important. So, let us go up if everything is okay. Vama, koncham paiku poyi, ense kuntunda koncham kanukoni vaste. We will, otherwise we can, somebody can sing. Yeah. Yeah.
There is creation and there is involution.
No. Evolution and involution.
Okay. And we say this is projection, Maya is projection, what we see.
Yeah.
Maya. Why should there be evolution and why should there be involution at all?
Because of Maya. So Maya's function is a play. Maya means a play. Now this is very interesting question because in Vedanta, when we are talking about Maya, it's a different issue. When a bhakta is talking about Maya, it's a different issue. These are two separate issues we are talking about. According to Advaita Vedanta, Maya is an inimical force trying to keep us deluded. Whereas according to Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita itself, the Lord clearly says, what does he say? Daivi hesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante maya etam. It is my maya. And Adbhutanji's beautiful commentary on this in the teaching Sveti Maha Sveti Katha. Maya is our mother. And all these situations she is creating for whose good?
mind.
And slowly she wants to take us to the Lord and say, this is your real Lord home. So, the Maya creates, what is involution now? Involution means coming down from our real home. We are at home. And what is our home? God. So coming down from God is called involution. And then we have already come down. Now we are not in the process of involution. We are in the process of
evolution.
We are going back to our home. What can help us? See, let me use it. It's like a staircase. How did you come to the basement? Through the
staircase.
How will you go up again?
Staircase.
So that which brought us is Maya. That which is going to take us up to our home is also
Maya.
Because Maya is expression of mind. So one type of mind is bringing us down. But the other type of mind is, so what is that? An untrained mind will take us down. A trained mind take us up. Who says that? Bhagavad Gita. Krishna. Uddharet atmana atmanam na atmanam avasadaye. Then he says, Bandhu, our friend is also a trained mind. Our greatest enemy is also untrained mind. So the difference is only training and not train. And Maya helps us how to train. She creates all the simulations, you know. A tragedy is a simulation. What is a simulation? Simulation means, so face a situation, create a situation. You are asked to face the situation and it will give you training. First we fail, then we learn the lesson. What is it? If this kind of situation arises in future, I will be reacting in this way. What is the situation? Here is a tragedy. And I thought I lost my life. Then I say, no, this is a training. So next time the same thing happens, I don't feel that. I feel detached. Are you following what I am saying? All situations, what we call tragic situations, happy situations, every situation is tailor-made, not for its sake, but for us to learn our
lessons.
Then slowly we progress. That is called evolution. So evolution, where is the end of evolution?
God.
We go back. Then evolution stops because we reached. In the Sankhya Yoga, this is what beautifully said. They don't call it Maya, they call it Prakriti. Sankhya Yoga. The function of Prakriti is to take each soul by the hand and lead the soul gently to the Purusha and says, this is your home. I am here only. So for each soul, through evolution, it takes us to God and says, that is your home. I am happy you reached your home. So this is a positive way of understanding what is life in the world. Beautiful. It is only the Advaita Vadins. That's why they are called Maya Vadins. Unnecessarily they brought. Very strange fellows. And so, what is it that makes us forget our nature? Maya. What is Maya? It is indescribable. If they stop there, they are good people. So, volume after volume, they want to describe what is indescribable. That's why they are called Mayavadins. Yeah, Sri Ramakrishna had changed that and said, Maya is not our enemy. Maya is our own mother, gently teaching us lessons and taking us to God. Okay, enough?